Everybody, roll call. I see everybody is in attendance. I've got one general announcement really geared toward Mr. Huttmacher. I was at Austin Elementary this afternoon teaching character counts to the third grade, and Ms. Hudak, who sits up front in the office, made a comment to me that she had called on the city regarding the traffic light. And her comments were, not only are the people extremely friendly, but they even received a call back after the light was fixed to make sure that things were working properly. So hats off, Warren, to you and staff. Thank you very much.
I'll get the big kid.
Thank you.
I was
scared there for a second.
That's positive news. Okay, any other general announcements? There are none. We'll move to the invocation. Mr. Wittenstein, would you do us the honors, please?
At this council meeting, help us to make decisions which keep us faithful to our mission and reflect our values. Give us strength to hold to our purpose, wisdom to guide us, and keen perception to lead us. And above all, keep us charitable as we deliberate.
Thank you, Robert. All right, pledge. Mr. Robinson is marching forward because the flag stand is so high. Mr. Robinson, we are honored to have you hold our flag.
Present the colors.
Denny, would you lead us in the pledge, please?
Certainly will. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Bill.
Yes, we're tired of the colors.
Please watch your heads as Bill exits.
With a sharp object.
5 minutes. Everybody had an opportunity to review January 6th minutes from our special called meeting. Any modifications to the minutes?
I move to approve the minutes that are published. Second.
Any discussion on this? So that there's none, all in favor, approval of the minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Approval of the minutes passes. Meeting agenda. Mr. Ross.
I have a question with regard to minutes. When do we anticipate getting the December 18th minutes?
That's Tracy's.
No, I think it was Tracy.
Was that Lenny?
No, I think that was...
No, it was
Joni. It was Joni.
I keep emailing her. Those are very important minutes, and so she needs to get them right to the board. So I apologize.
All right. All right, thank you. On meeting agenda, I would like to... make a motion to move item number 4 down to O for executive session. That item is discussion on the IGA, and it's in regards to property and lease, so that needs to be done in executive session. All right, there's a second discussion on moving this item down to executive session.
As we move it, I think we need to rename it, because instead of a discussion on the intergovernmental agreement, it's a discussion on a potential lease, right?
Yeah,
or potential sublease. So as we move it, can we change its name to discussion on the sublease, since that's something we can talk about in executive session?
All right, I'll accept that. All right, any discussion on that?
And then I would actually add another item to actually potentially vote on it after the executive session.
Okay.
So an action item.
So we'll add an action item for the vote after executive session. All right. That's amended. Is there any discussion on that? All right, all in favor of the amendment, please say aye.
Fair.
Yes.
I'd like to move that we defer the items number 14 and 15 to the next regularly scheduled meeting.
I'll second that. Any discussion on deferring items 14 and 15, and that is discussion and vote of Construction Board of Appeals and Alcohol Appeals Board. Seeing no discussion, on favor of that amendment to the agenda, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, the agenda will be revised. All right. You know, with that, let me, since those were modifications, I'm not sure of protocol, but we might need to go ahead and vote on the overall agenda now as it's modified. So I'll make a motion to... All right. Any discussion on the agenda as it sits right now, as modified? Seeing if there's none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Public comment. Very public comment card. Mr. Anderson will make his way back. And as I call your name, please make your way to the podium in the middle of the room there, please. Jerry Penn.
Yes, I just wanted to announce for those who are going to be on the Community Council for the City of Dunwoody that the CAB District 1 Community Council meeting, the next one is February 17th from 6:30 to 8 o'clock at the Shambly Library. So if you want to just see how a Community Council works, this is an opportunity to see a Community Council in action.
Thank you, Jerry.
You're welcome.
Steve Ludwig.
As always, I thank you for your service. I've been to City Hall twice last week, and whatever you're paying those receptionists isn't near enough. I'd like to hear a comment, if I may, on the Comcast franchise agreement just before you for consideration. I think it's deferred. But, there are two ways, of course, that Comcast can get franchise fee. We can get a franchise fee. One is by signing a contract with Comcast, a franchise agreement, and the other is for Comcast to elect to proceed under Georgia state law. And I've looked, Mr. Anderson was kind enough to send me a copy of the current proposed Comcast franchise fee agreement, and I see a few things that concern me. The primary one is that they have a provision in there that doesn't appear in the state law or in the federal communications federal statute. Regarding open records, and what it said basically is if any of us want to see anything, any paperwork that they give to you, and they're required to give you a bunch of paperwork about fees and how much they've collected and so on, if we want to see any of that, they have a right to say no, and then they have a right to ask for an injunction. But I guess they'd sue you or me. I'm not sure who they would sue if I was the one asking for it, and you have to cooperate in opposing the request. I don't see it in the federal law or in state law, and I can't imagine why we would want to agree to something like that. It doesn't offer the city anything, and yet it prevents a citizen who feels that maybe they're being overcharged or the Comcast isn't living up to the service requirements. We have no way to find out that information because they don't have to give it. I would like to recommend that, by the way, DeKalb County entered a franchise agreement in 1997, and they got in litigation with Comcast over it in 2003. And the Comcast, DeKalb County 1997 franchise agreement is extremely detailed. I mean, you kind of know what you're entitled to. I think the one that's being presented right now, you kind of are not really sure what you're entitled to. And I would like to recommend that before it's finalized, somebody go over the DeKalb agreement and the lawsuit settlement, which detail even further the way Comcast has to comply with the agreement, and the state law, and just see what they have that we are not getting. And I've read them all, and I can tell you it's a bunch of stuff. Finally, there is a provision in there that for the month of December, Comcast gets to collect 70 cents per person or per subscriber for the month of December, and that's probably only $8,000 or $10,000. And apply it to PEG, public access, and something else. So it talks about the cost of administration of the program. But the federal law says you can only use it for capital improvements required by the grantor, which would be Dunwoody, for PEG and one other purpose. And a lot of the things they say they're going to apply it for don't exist, and we haven't demanded that they make any capital improvements. So I think if they're going to collect that 70 cents, they need to give us a quid pro quo, because it's to pay for capital improvements that we've asked them to make. If we don't ask for it, they make $8,000 or $10,000, that's money that's out the door. And I may be wrong on all this, but somebody needs to be looking at all these things and see if I might be right on something. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Ladway. Yeah, there's some chairs, open chairs up front if any of y'all would like to sit down. Please feel free to make your way up front. Alright, seeing that was the last card in public comment, we're going to move to the public hearing for the City of Dunwoody sign ordinance.
So do we start the public hearing for the City of Dunwoody sign ordinance?
Second. Alright, any discussion on this, opening up this public hearing? Seeing that there's none, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Seeing that there is none, this public hearing is now open, and I'd ask Community Development to please make their way to the podium.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. What you have for you this evening is the sign ordinance.
Thank you. Let's check. Two chairs up here still. If anybody wants to sit down.
Basically, this is the sign ordinance that you had passed before, and we're asking for readoption this evening. The city attorney has recommended that we adopt this ordinance under abundance of caution this evening. And, essentially, the same ordinance again that you adopted back in December. Any questions?
Any questions?
Last Tuesday, we talked about the possibility of taking a look at the sign ordinance as it reflects to 501(3)(c), specifically churches and synagogues, and relating to that. Is this item discussed, and did anything come forth?
I believe the city attorney's not able to respond to that one. We did discuss the, somebody mentioned banners, pole banners, and unfortunately, any type of signage in a public right-of-way is prohibited, and that also applies to banners, you know, whether you're for-profit or non-profit. Now, whether the 501(c)(3) is exempt from regulation, I think that's a city attorney question that they can address.
Right. Freedom of speech applies pretty much equally to regardless of who does it. You do have a distinction between commercial and non-commercial. But between various non-commercials, it's pretty much standard. You can't say this person's got more rights to say than this person. So that is a problematic issue. So we're going to be looking at all these issues. There are several coming up in the next. We'll have another public hearing sometime at the late next month to go and revamp the sign ordinance, which time we'll have a recommendation.
Any other questions for Brian or staff? Yeah, Denny.
As I understand it, we're readopting this, as we've done several times before, as a caution, I guess. We can revisit this in a couple of weeks, maybe, and make some of the changes, because I have some changes I'd like to talk about at that time.
Yes, sir.
Any other questions for staff? Thank you. All right, with that, we will open public comment, and I'd ask anybody that wishes to speak in favor of the Dunwoody sign ordinance to please make their way toward the podium. Are those crickets I hear chirping? Once again, I see that there are none. Any that would wish to speak against this sign ordinance, please make their way toward the podium. That's not a cricket, that's a cameraman that we're hearing. All right, seeing that there are none, is there a motion to close the public hearing?
So move.
Second.
Any discussion on closing this public hearing? See if there are none. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? All right, the public hearing is closed. All right, moving on to the second read here. Would you do us honors, please, here?
This is ordinance number 2009-01-09, an ordinance to readopt and reapprove Chapter 21, signs, providing for inclusion and identification of the Code of Ordinances for the City of Dunwoody, Georgia, to be referenced in the future as Chapter 21, signs, as attached hereto and incorporated therein.
Thank you.
I move we approve Chapter 21 as read.
I second that. All right, we have a second. Any discussion on the sign ordinance? Seeing that they're done, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. All right, reports and presentations. Warren?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. At the last meeting, you requested staff to report here on a monthly basis on the updated professional services contract the city has with Oregon International. Pursuant to the direction of the mayor and council, the cost as of December 31st, 2008, are $280,810. And from a status update, on a simple basis, Boykin personnel are currently working on the following three projects for the city. One is to finalize the municipal court setup. Second is the city hall build-out plan and implementation. And third is the compilation of policies and procedures so that we have harmony amongst each of the departments and the document will be consistent. I'd be happy to answer any questions that y'all may have at this time.
Any questions for Warren, Robert?
I just want to say that I was pleasantly surprised by this. This is a much lower number than I expected, and we got an enormous amount done for the amount of money that we spent. And my hats is off to Boykin. They've accomplished a tremendous amount, and I think we got ourselves a bargain.
Thank so, Warren, please.
Absolutely, Warren, would you explain to everyone since there was a $275,000 cap through December 31st, why it went above that? What the extra included items?
Yeah, so the cap is for the fees that are associated with the services, which is the direct expense of the hourly rate for the consultants. In addition, y'all have approved within that contract two other categories of expenditures. One is for any sub-consultants that Boykin has hired to perform any services, and then also for any expenses that they incurred on our behalf that they paid for prior to January 1. So this bill includes some of those expenses that we've incurred. That also include the markup, and that puts the number over the allotted amount. But all of those costs that were forwarded and all the sub-consultants are now completely paid for through the end of this invoice.
And some of those extra expenses would include things like the lease on our property that we are right now, payment for city employees up through December 31st, et cetera?
That's correct.
Any other questions for Warren? Yes, Tom.
What were we looking at as a start date for this report?
I believe the first court we are aiming for February 18th. And the court, it looks like, will be held over at the terraces. Okay. From our series, we're going to secure some temporary space for the benefit of that purpose.
And are we getting citations and tickets and stuff like that from the GAD that they're writing now? Yes. So we are okay.
So we're contacting those folks that got tickets from DeKalb and alerting them to their location of their court date and the time of that court date.
Yes, Danny.
I'd just like to underscore what Robert said. We could not have started this city without this agreement with Boykin. They did an incredible job for us. The resources they brought to the table. We've kind of operated as an operating council up until the 1st of December until we got our staff on board, and this was a Herculean job done by very professional people, and I applaud them on the work that they did.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dave. Any questions for
Florence, yes.
Just to reiterate what they said, I was over there with them a lot, and Adrian was too, and so there was a lot of other people, but I think Adrian had spent a great deal of time over there, and cooperation aside, morale aside, they worked like they needed to get done with it, so and we didn't do really well about it.
Thank you, Dan. And once again, hats off to Adrian and Denny for leading that charge and spending multiple nights out. All right, any other questions for Warren? Warren's already sat down, so
he's done.
Good job, Warren. All right, moving on, Sharon. Where are we at? Employee benefits package.
No, we're on case. Franchise. Go back.
There we go. Sorry, I turned the page. All right, that's Brian.
We have Andy Mackey from Comcast. He's the one that from Comcast that is negotiating the agreement. He's obviously an expert in this issue. And any questions you have, he could probably answer best. So we're requesting that the mayor and council allow Andy to answer questions that you guys may have.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor, Council. Thanks for having me here tonight. As Mr. Anderson said, I work with Comcast, and I'm responsible for government community affairs in the Metro Atlanta area, including the city of Dunwoody. I've had an opportunity to meet some of you at a function over in DeKalb County. I appreciate that opportunity and look forward to working with you as you continue along the path of being a city and building the independent community. The franchise agreement that is on the table, I understand there has been some discussion as to sort of what are the boundaries from a regulatory standpoint and what are the opportunities from an ongoing relationship standpoint. And I think that's certainly a good discussion to have because things have changed quite a bit over the past few years. Whereas back in the 80s and 90s, in the relatively early stages of our industry, there was a fairly stringent regulatory regime that was established pursuant to federal law, but for the most part enacted in the context of a franchise agreement and enforced at the local level. As our industry has matured, the regulations around that has matured, and competition has increased in the video space, some of the regulatory regime has changed. In Georgia, that has been the most dramatic impact was the adoption of House Bill 227 back in 2007 by the General Assembly. And what that did is essentially set up two processes by which a cable or video service provider, which is a subtle difference there, could legally use the rights way to provide services. You could either pay $500 and file a piece of paper with the Secretary of State, and you could have a franchise pursuant to the state-issued, essentially a state-issued franchise. Or you continue to work with an existing local government, or in the case of Dunwoody, work out something that is local in nature. And that, since the adoption of that law, while Comcast has, I think we have actually one state-issued franchise at this point, we've chosen to stick with those local relationships. We are very familiar in working with city councils, county commissions. We're comfortable with that relationship and certainly look to perpetuate that business model. That said, the framework of the state-issued franchise sort of establishes a new ceiling for what we are looking to do when we engage in that regulatory relationship. Not necessarily because we feel differently about you as a city or what have you, but really it's as much a matter of our competitive position as anything else. So there are a lot of things that we'd be willing to do that we'd probably prefer not to be part of a franchise agreement. For example, being a new city, from talking to Jeff Timmel and Brian, I know them, it's likely some interest, if not now, then shortly, in being able to use our distribution network to communicate with your constituency. That is not a problem. We have a studio over in Chamblee right off of Peachtree Industrial inside the perimeter that we'd be happy to have you come in and kind of do an update that we can cable cast and be out to all of DeKalb County. So your neighbors in Decatur and Shambling and whatnot would know what you're up to. But outside of that, it's something that your constituents can turn to regularly in the comfort of their living rooms and get an update on the city. Again, that's something that we're willing to do just as a matter of partnership, but probably something that certainly under a state issue franchise would not be a requirement and something we'd be reluctant to include in a franchise document. And I know that there were some other things that had come up, and rather than me talking, I'd be interested in hearing what some of your thoughts are, and hopefully we can get some ideas out on the table. I can go back and see what we can do and what makes sense from a business standpoint and come up with a regulatory document as well as an understanding of what our path is going to be from a partnership between the City of Dunwoody and Comcast.
All right. I know we have, maybe I'm guessing, in working with our city attorney, I know we have compiled a list of discussion items. Brian, has that been communicated in y'all's discussion?
We've had a couple of discussions back and forth. Not really impressing it too much lately. We're getting hard and heavy. One question that I've been asked a lot by members of the public is, what is the major advantage to the city to go through a contract agreement rather than just saying, please go and avail yourself of the state? If you could go and enumerate that, there's several people in the audience that would like to see the response.
From a city perspective, there is a feeling that as you hold that franchise agreement, that is brings a closer connection between the city and the company. We personally share the same idea, and through the franchise process, I'll regularly interact with Sharon, with Brian, with Jeff Timler, whoever of the city that is happens to be the point person for cable issues. From a legal perspective, is there going to be a substantial difference? Probably not. Certainly, from a revenue standpoint, we would look at the same franchise fee percentage, the same basis in terms of definition of gross revenue as you'd see in a state issue franchise. From a PEG perspective, public educational and government access standpoint, probably would not be a whole lot of difference in the regulatory regime versus in state versus local. We may have a little more flexibility in terms of comp services, complementary services to government buildings. It's really not so much of an issue to provide a video outlet in a building when we have 200 or 300 video outlets in a building, such as the Blue Building, the county building in Decatur. Well, then that's probably a separate arrangement. But broad spectrum of things, there's probably not a whole lot of difference. In fact, we worked with the GMA, Georgia Municipal Association, to draft in a new template agreement that reflected the terms of the state law, but still allowed that local franchise to be adopted by a city council or county commission.
I have a question on video on demand. I think, especially in this community, we probably have a pretty high rate of digital subscriptions, probably on average. Is that something that Comcast would be amenable to discussing as opposed maybe to a constant flow channel to giving us some VOD time?
Be happy to do that, absolutely. In fact, just kind of as an example of, a voluntary relationship, we run the City of Decatur's meetings live. We have a connection point into City Hall. We run them live. They run live on, Monday evenings, and then we replay them Thursday evenings, I think. And so, that's just something that we've worked out with the City of Decatur. We'd be happy to do something similar with Dunwoody. Maybe Labs out of the question at this point. Tape delay is certainly an option. But to your point, if you can, from an on-demand standpoint, there is a little bit of lead time to be able to get something encoded and whatnot. And so something that might be more evergreen content, how to file for a business license, or some of the more nuts and bolts type issues might be more conducive to on-demand type offering versus more real-time content like a city council meeting. But that's certainly on the table.
And the if you have a question on public service announcements, is that something that y'all discuss with us helping fund those through different means? If we had PSAs that we needed to get out,
regularly run PSAs, promoting various community events or providing awareness to an event or an issue that is is out there. And again, that's usually just a pretty simple conversation and execution on making that happen.
On the one,
usually the bigger issue of that is the production,
right,
of the piece.
That's my next question.
We have, we've got at our studio in Chamblee, we have a small staff. We actually outsource the function of the studio itself. We have a company that comes in and does that, but then we also have a team of interns that does some on-scene shooting and production work. So I think that we could probably find our way to make that happen.
Okay. Robert.
I got a couple of issues. I'm a little reluctant to try to do contract negotiations in this sort of format. So let's assume that that's not what we're doing.
Sure, I'm under the right, same assumption. Right, okay. I'm just trying to get a better idea of where your heads are, and by the same token, communicate with you guys sort of where we're coming from.
Right. Okay. So I've got I think 4 bullet points here, and I'll sort of hit them one by one.
All right.
The first one was brought up by Steve Ludwig during the public comment, and that was comments on provisions in the current draft that that allow you to avoid open records disclosure and obligate us to help you do so. I remember reading the agreement fairly carefully. I don't remember those provisions. Are you married to those? I mean, help us understand what the rationale is behind that and what it would take to have those.
Bottom line is, we certainly want to provide information to the city that gives you information to see whether or not we're in compliance with the agreement. In other words, to enforce the terms and conditions. In the process of doing that, we may indeed turn over information that we consider to be proprietary. For example, if you were going to do an audit of our books to see whether we pay franchise fees on all the revenue streams that we should have, we would provide you a breakdown of revenue by stream, give you subscriber numbers and those kind of things. That would be information that we would prefer not to have in a competitor's hands. And the state law does provide for protection of proprietary information, and we simply would ask that the city hold that as confidential information to the extent that they can within the confines of the Open Records Act. That's really the long and short of it.
Would it be appropriate to define in the agreement what confidential information was so that we might could put a box around what it is that we're offering to help you protect? Again, we're not going to. You understand what the point is. It's hard for us, right, to enter into an agreement that doesn't offer a lot of openness, right? We've sort of staked our political reputations on openness.
Sure.
So anything we can do to create an agreement that allows us to be sure that we're not going to find ourselves in a position where you are trying to keep stuff from being released and we're feeling obligated to help you would help us.
Well, it's difficult to define, the state law itself is at the same time specific but broad in terms of what kind of information does not necessarily have to be disclosed. And so I think we could probably simplify the language to reflect what the state law stipulates. But I will say that as a practical matter, I've never run into this issue in terms of information that has been requested, and there'd be some process where we ask the city not to release the information. It's just hasn't happened. That's not to say that it won't happen, but if we're in the process of having a franchise fee review, we simply put proprietary and confidential on the bottom of the documents. Similarly, if we're handing over maps, you know, the city may have an interest in knowing where we are versus where we aren't. Again, something that we're probably not crazy about having our competition have in their hands, but proprietary, confidential, and you know, stays within the city hall building, and really isn't such an issue, just like I'm not going anywhere to request the same information of an AT&T or any other competitor in the city. So I understand where you're coming from. It may be one of those things that appears to be a bigger issue than it actually is, but you know, we're just looking to provide an avenue that we can be as compliant as possible with any sort of compliance review, with some assurances that the information we handed over is going to be treated somewhat carefully.
My second issue, and I think I'll only hit three of these. The second one is that I don't know if you get a lot of questions and complaints about increases in fees from year to year, but I get those. And I've gotten a lot of them as we've begun to discuss this 10-year agreement, which is a long-term agreement. What avenues are open to us as a city council to help protect the residents of Dunwoody who are going to be buying your services and allowing you to collect fees that you then pass to us? Are there mechanisms in place for us to put ceilings on your annual increases? You're not regulated by the Public Service Commission. You're not a monopoly, so in some sense I recognize that there's competition out there, which is one of the things that helps keep your prices in line. But are there mechanisms that we can use to help you know, our residents anticipate and perhaps even not have as big an increases as some of us have felt like we've gotten over the last few years?
Similar to the franchise relationship, at one point in the early stages of the cable industry, there was an exhaustive rate regulatory regime that has pretty much ebbed away. There is a process by which the city can file to certify or can be certified to regulate rates. That is confined to the broadcast basic tier of service, basically the 25 channels that include the broadcasters and the access channels and installation fees and things of that nature. So yes, there is limited practical implications of that and you know, in the broadest sense. I mean, we have some communities where the you know, that do regulate rates, and at the end of the day, our expanded basic rate is the same in communities that regulate rates versus don't regulate rates. So 90%+ of the customers pay the same rates for service as the others do, and without the bureaucracy.
Got it. Okay, so last question for me, and then I'll stop monopolizing things. You've talked about some things that we might could do outside of the realm of the franchise agreement, just as a partnership towards kind of thing, and you've talked about putting in video jacks and giving us airtime and doing public service announcements and stuff. I'm wondering whether one of the things that might fit into that category might be some cameras that we could use to actually broadcast our city council meetings, and whether or not that's the sort of thing that's not uncommon for you guys to help cities do if they wanted to outfit their council chambers so that they could broadcast.
We have those types of conversations all the time, and we have a general predilection against those kind of things for a couple of reasons. Most often we find that we may stroke a check for equipment or some sort of program, and it gathers dust, or you know, maybe there isn't a continual investment in the upkeep of the equipment, or there isn't staff allocated to do that type of production work. So what we have found in most cases is it's not a fruitful expenditure. That's not to say that it might not be different in Dunwoody, but experience has kind of led us down the path of being reluctant to go down that road. In cases where we do it, we again view it as a partnership type scenario where a community would have skin in the game in terms of matching capital dollars, in terms of dedicated operational expenditures within the confines of their budget, where they're going to have somebody that's going to be using the cameras, editing equipment, and so on. So it's not completely off the table, but it's something that we'd have to have a lot of discussion about.
All right, thanks. Denny, do you have something?
A couple of things. The mayor was talking about providing video services for us, and also you talked about to run our meetings live or PSAs. Does any of that service figure into the overall cost package where that cost would be divided amongst the citizens? In other words, if we said, no, we don't want any of that, would the cost to the citizens be less?
No, but you do have scenarios where there are upfront grants, such as capital grant, for example. In our existing DeKalb County franchise agreement, there is a quarterly capital grant that is for equipment. And so that drives up the cost of bills for folks that live in unincorporated DeKalb County. Same with Fulton, same with other communities where there is that type, Cobb has that type scenario as well. So it's not going to drive down your rate if you don't, but it'd drive up your rate if you do.
Okay, so there would be a cost factor.
For capital.
If we did. Okay.
That's right.
Second question. When you read through your documents here, there's that 70 cents per month.
Mm-hmm.
I just grabbed mine here. I'm one of your customers, by the way. And I guess we all are. And I just tried to figure out off of what. That's figured off of, the 5% is figured off of what? The basic service, the digital service?
5% is off of gross revenue of any video services. And there's actually two components. There's a subscriber piece, which you'll see on your bill, and a non-subscriber piece, which you wouldn't, which is revenue derived from advertising sales, home shopping commissions, or other things of that nature, which can be part of the franchise fee equation. That depends on the choice of the community. In the state law, that's specifically carved out. The 70 cents that's referred to is actually a holdover from the Sandy Springs agreement that we adopted, where in Fulton, just like in DeKalb, we, as part of our agreement, made certain investments. In DeKalb, we built a $6 million fiber network interconnecting over 180 sites in the county building, in the county. And we were able to recover those costs by, we basically took our subscribers' number and divided that cost over a number of subscribers for the entire term of our franchise, which expires in 2014. So in addition to that, there are certain costs associated with recognizing the city of Dunwoody. In May, we will do, or actually in April, we'll do what we call a passer, where we'll, in an automated fashion, convert every customer that is a city of, or DeKalb County customer within city of Dunwoody boundaries. We'll change their account numbers to have them reflect that they'll be in city of Dunwoody. That's $55,000 cost to us directly to make that change. And that's not including any staff time or anything along those lines. So the conversation with City of Sandy Springs and with the other cities in North Fulton was, look, we've got this embedded cost in terms of the fiber network or in the case of PED Capital. And we also have some costs here associated with switching you over from being unincorporated to an incorporated city. What we like to do is continue to collect the money that's already on customers' bills for another year. That'll speed up the amortization of the fiber network. It'll cover the costs of doing the switchover, and then at the end of the calendar year, it'll come off the bill. So that's the rationale.
So that would be through what calendar year for us?
It'd be December 2009.
Is that your understanding, right? Okay. Okay. And so that I tried to figure out this 5% because I see down here the franchise fee, and you know it should be $83 on mine, but I couldn't find it. So there's part of this, the digital preferred services or the Comcast cable television service, and then there's some other service somewhere on there that 5% is figured upon. Is that correct?
Yeah, if you calculated what that pass-through amount was, and you'd find that it does not equate to 5% of your bill. It's probably more like 5.4% of your bill because of those non-subscriber revenues that are incorporated into the...
And where does the 70 cents show up on this bill?
I think if the cap is 70 cents, there should be two line items on the bill. One's, I think, says network access fee, and one might say peg support fee. It'd be down there at the bottom.
I see a network support fee.
There you go.
And a peg support fee.
There you
okay.
go.
That adds up to 40 cents on that. So that's where it's at. So it's not really 70 cents.
No. 70 cents was the cap, and like I said, that was a holdover from the Sandy Springs agreement.
So down the road, next month, I don't want to beat a dead horse here all the way, but those two fees stay the same?
We make adjustments every February, so there will be a little bit of vacillation. I don't think we got to the 70 cents.
So it's going somewhere above 40, but below 70. That's so right. 70 is definitely the cap. And so figuring the 5%, I would have to have more than something that I see on this bill to figure where they got the $4.15 franchise fees.
Say that again.
To figure the franchise fees, 5% of some figure, I would have to have more than on this bill to figure the number that they figured 5% up.
To verify if it was accurate, yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you. That's all.
Right. And one question on Denny's bill here. Can you tell us what Playboy on Demand is? John, did you have
My question was regarding the peg fee and the 70 cents aspect and wanting to know exactly what we were paying for future services, what we were going to get from you. And from what I'm hearing is it's for past services being caught up. So there's no way that we could wipe off that fee and not get something. We're already getting what we paid for previously. We're just getting caught up.
That's pretty much it.
Okay. That was my question.
Thank you.
Answered it. Your question.
Thank you. Dan?
My question has to do with the timing issue. This agreement is so that you, in fact, reimburse or pay the city on a quarterly and arrears basis. You're collecting that money on a monthly basis. And I'd like to suggest that you look at real closely giving that to us on a monthly basis as well.
We pay some folks on a monthly basis. It's really, administrative and incremental administrative costs. It's not a huge, deal. We can do it.
Good.
All right. Any other questions? Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, and hopefully this is the first of many positive conversations. However, I know from time to time you get calls when things aren't shaking out so well with us and some customers, so please feel free to shoot me an email. We have mechanisms in place to make sure those get handled in an expedited manner, and so you can provide the responsiveness that that your constituents expect. So.
One more question.
Yes, sir.
Andy, just one more question. The month of December, we became a city on 31 December, so December 1 through December 31, we should be getting the franchise fee.
You will, and what we're going to have to do in order to give you an accurate number, ideally we wait until after the April passer takes place. We'll have a better understanding of what customers are in the city of Dunwoody versus what are not, and then we can pay you a true amount from December 1 through, I guess at that point, it'd be April
30th. March 31st.
we're doing the passer in April, so it would be after that when we'd actually make our first payment to you and make you whole based on accurate information.
One more question.
Yeah, I just had one question. It's been 3 weeks since I reviewed this, but in the agreement, it said that if a competitor came and had more modern technology or wanted to show more videos or whatever, that you wanted to be able to do that too. Do you have some more modern equipment available or something else that's available to your users?
Not exactly sure what provision. It may have been that if there was somebody that came in under a different regulatory regime, we'd have the ability to opt into that. But to answer your question directly, we are always innovating. The big thing for us from a video standpoint is to introduce more high-definition content, both in the on-demand space and in linear channels. The biggest thing that we're doing in the internet is we're introducing a new DOCSIS 3.0 platform, a new internet platform, where we will be able to offer speeds 100 meg plus downstream and 25 to 50 megabits upstream. So we always are doing some sort of incremental innovation, and then occasionally we'll have something that's a game changer that comes down the pipe. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. Okay. All right, wonderful. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you very much. And I'll just follow up with Brian and Jeff and wrap this up.
Yes.
Thank you.